Awesome. Thanks, Beryl. So good. I don't know what's happening in kids' church, but it sounds like a lot of fun. I might go join kids' church. Hey, far out. I was so excited. Isn't it good to be here this morning? It's so good to just be able to come and worship and enter into the presence of God. I do have a joke. I know it's probably going to be pretty bad, but I thought I'd share it just to, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And this is kind of like a Bible trivia joke as well. So if you get this one, like, full marks for you. But here we go. What kind of man was Boaz before he was married? You ready for this? Ruthless. Wow. That's pretty bad, hey, but hey, good joke, yeah. Moving right along. it's so good to be here this morning, and I'm pretty excited to share. And the title of my message is, I don't know, I do have a slide somewhere. It's hey, here we go. I've named it Being Before Doing. And I do want to just share like a little bit of my journey, like where God has been leading me in. How long have we been here? Like 6, 7, feels like forever. Like 7 weeks, 8 weeks. It's just, everything's just gone like so fast. It's like we've been here forever, pretty much. I know. But I do want to share just what God's been doing in my life and like where I'm up to. Like in my walk with the Lord, because the last thing I want to do is like try to preach something that like God's not really doing in my life, or like and the last thing I want to do is just like preach a message for the sake of preaching a message, if that makes sense. Because I do want to be real. And anyway, so I've been reading my Bible, like as I hope everyone does throughout the week. But one of the scriptures that really stood out to me this week was 1 Corinthians 4:20. It says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power. And this verse has really rocked me, eh? Like, I don't know about you, but like I'm just like, man, I don't want to just like keep talking about the kingdom of God. I want to experience like the power of living in the power of God. Like, what does that actually look like in my life every day? How do I actually live in the power of God every day instead of just like talking? Because I think there's a lot of talk that just goes around without necessarily the power of God actually moving. So that's where I'm at in my walk. And I'm just thinking, man, how can I live more in the power of God every day? So a couple of weeks ago, I got to hang out with Morris. I don't think they're here this morning, but how awesome are Andrew and Cammy? They're like so cool. But I got to have a catch up with him, and it was great. He got me onto this amazing book. It's called The Emotionally Healthy Discipleship. And anyway, I started reading through the book, and that's a cool ringtone. Sorry, I'm so easily distracted. But I started reading through this book, and it's like, have you ever picked up a book and it's just like, it just makes you go like, oh my gosh, am I even saved? Like what? Like, it just really challenged me. And I don't know, for me, I've just been thinking, okay, to live in the power of God, it actually means that I actually have to practice being before doing. And that's something that the Holy Spirit's really just talking to me right now. And Rob kind of touched on this a little bit last week, but I don't know if he did like a full exegesis of like the Mary Martha story, but, I just wanted to read that story again. I think we maybe read it last week, but it just really spoke to me. And it's found in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. If you do have your Bible, you can open it up, or if it's on your phone or whatever. Is everyone there? I can hear some pages flicking. This is good. All right, it says this, starting from verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you were worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Now, this is probably like a well-known passage. But what's really interesting to me is that Martha is a follower of Jesus, correct? She's a follower of Jesus. And she is somebody I would say is serving the Lord. Like, she's serving Jesus. And she's there, but she's not really there, if you know what I'm saying. So she's there, but she's like kind of checked out a little bit because she's so busy with the doing. And in a similar way, I mean, well, like, it's pretty easy for me, myself, to be caught up in the doing. Like, we have church every week. It's the perfect example for me because, hey, I work here, which is awesome. But, you know, I want to do so much for God. And it's easy for me to just be so caught up in the doing, I want to fix, the sound desk. Let's get it going good. Like, let's do the lights. I mean, we got some pretty awesome lights, which is great. You know, but I myself can be so caught up in the doing that, you know, I actually need to spend more time being. And that's what the Holy Spirit's really reminding me of, to actually make it a priority to be with Jesus rather than to do for Jesus. And I'll just, you know, break it down even more. This might be interesting, but there was a time in my life where I was so obsessed with doing that I'd only want to go to church if I was rostered on to serve and do something. Okay, let me just dive into that a little deeper. So before me and Raina moved here, you know, and this is before I was in full-time ministry or whatever, we were serving at another church, quite a larger church, you know, maybe there was 300 or 400 people. And, you know, I was serving on the worship team. I had my guitar and I could just kind of rock up, and I was just kind of on autopilot during worship, you know, just, yeah, I'm worshiping, play through the chords. Yeah, man. Yeah, it's great. And, see, I was there, but I was so busy with the doing, and I was actually distracted in the worship service that often my mind would actually, it would wander, right? I'd be playing a song, but I'd be thinking about what assignments I had due at uni. and actually, I was so distracted that I missed powerful moments in the presence of God because I was distracted by what I was doing. So I just want to encourage all of us here this morning that, you know, no matter what capacity we are serving in, that we got to remember that being is actually, it's more important than doing. And actually doing comes out of being. So I have this picture of an iceberg. Isn't it cool? So you're probably wondering, okay, what does that have to do with anything? Well, a little bit. But the reason I chose this image is because on the surface, it actually looks like there's not a lot going on, right? But beneath the surface, it's huge. It's massive. And it's actually bigger than we think. And the thing is, sometimes in our Christian lives, we start to look the opposite. So there's another image. So our Christian life kind of starts to look a little bit like, oh, just stack it there. But it does start to look a little bit like that. So see that all the stuff on top is like all the stuff we're trying to do for God, like, yeah, we're running prayer meetings or youth group or whatever, like, and like, yet we have like such a little amount of time of being with the Lord, and we're trying to like do so much stuff, and it's just like, it's probably a little bit unhealthy, I'd say. Does that make sense? But yeah, I've been super convicted of this lately, and you know, it can be things like serving, you know, like, do you serve out of a place of being? what about when you read your Bible? I mean, is it like, oh, I have to read my Bible? You know, and the other thing I just want to touch on as well is like, so I had this, have you guys ever experienced like going on holiday and you have like a typical like personality that like plans out everything to a T, like the time you're going to go to the airport, you have to be there like, you know, half an hour before, like you have like this itinerary that's like a novel, and like, it's like you get to the holiday destination, it's like, all right, let's go, we gotta do this, and it's like you're like, whoa, and like you barely have, and it's like you're doing a holiday instead of like having a holiday, and then you get back from the holiday and then you need like a holiday to just to yeah, recharge from the holiday because it was so busy and you were like trying to do so much stuff, and it's just so easy to be caught up in the doing that you forget to just go on holiday and just be like, ah, just forget to be like present in the moment. Yeah, this happened to me, like with when my sister came over to visit. It was crazy. She was just like, I want to do this, I want to go Blue Mountains, I want to, you know, go shopping, you know, she's from WA, so Sydney is like very exciting for her, but we kind of miss the whole point of like being like together. So we didn't necessarily build like have like awesome memorable moments. It was just like go. So yeah, being overdoing. and I just want to talk about like, you know, this thing called quiet time. Okay, so I mean, part of my background is I spent like a year at Teen Challenge, and they really drilled this into you, like, oh, you have to spend time with the Lord every morning. And I'm not saying, oh, you know, you got to wake up at 5 a.m., set aside like 3 hours to, you know, read your Bible, pray and all that. I mean, if you do that, that's incredible. But I hate the mornings. I said it. I love mornings. I'm learning to love mornings more because of Beatrix, but 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, actually, never, never stop praying. So for me, like, this is just what the Holy Spirit's been convicting me of, but it's like, we are meant to be in constant communion with God all throughout the day. It's not just like once off in the morning. That's not going to sustain you through the whole day. And what I'm doing, right, is I'm trying to actually take moments in the day to actually slow down and breathe and actually center myself and just take a few minutes to be with Jesus. Okay, this one, and if you're like, oh, I'm too busy, I've got too much on, I'm just going to come out and say, okay, what about on the toilet? Everyone goes to the toilet, right? And I know men, they spend more time on the toilet, like, I'm guilty. I just like, it's like my retreat. Like, oh, leave me alone. Like, shut the door. I'm going to the toilet. Don't talk to me for half an hour. I could use that half an hour, like actually to be with the Lord. Do you know what I mean? But like, I'm just, I'm so distracted. But like, I'll take my phone and be like scrolling through Instagram or TikTok. Like, you do have time. You could use that time to actually press into the Lord. I said it. Okay. But for me, the other day, I was, you know, doing some admin stuff, and you know, it was lunchtime. Thank God for lunchtime. And you know, I actually just took a moment before I went out to get lunch. Just a simple moment just to breathe, to center myself. And I actually found that I was actually way more present in the moment with my interactions with the people that I was talking to. Like, instead of being in a rush, you know, like, we all have so much to get done. But who cares? Because the work will always be there. Like, and it's more important to be present in the moment. And another thing for me was, like, you know, at home, Raina's like just glaring at me like, but sometimes I can be a real jerk, like, honestly. And you're probably thinking, oh my gosh, we hired you as an associate pastor. What? But seriously, I can be so caught up in what I have to do that there has literally been times where I've come home and like I've been like, I don't know, stressed or something, and I've been like just like snapped at Raina or got annoyed with Beatrix. And you're all thinking, how could you ever get annoyed with Beatrix? She could be a rat bag sometimes, all right? I think I said it. No, it's not a good thing for me to like do that. And so that's why it's important for me to center myself at different times throughout the day. And like one of those things that I do now is, you know, when I come home in the car, again, I want to take a moment to still my soul. And I listen to this amazing chill out band called Rivers and Robots. If anyone wants some awesome new Christian music, Rivers and Robots. But they just help me chill. And, oh, the bell, it's ringing. It's 12 o'clock. No, it's still going. That's amazing. So I'm distracted. Sorry. It's an important point. Yeah, good. That's our stealing time. Listening to the bells. No, but yeah, so like on the way home, that's what I do now. I take a moment to center myself and just thank God for the day, and I allow this excitement and joy to bubble up inside me for, like, you know, when I get home to see Raina and Beatrix. Because a small moment with him is worth more than we could ever accomplish or do. And yeah, I don't know what that looks like for you, but I would encourage all of us to find multiple times in the day where you can actually just take a moment and breathe. You know, take a small moment to find time. You know, like 2 or 3 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. Yeah, and you can always use the toilet too. that's funny. But anyway, just going back to 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says, you know, the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, but it is living by God's power. And now I ask myself this a lot because we recently just celebrated Easter and Jesus is alive, which is awesome. And the same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me and lives in you through the Holy Spirit. So what does that even look like, I guess, is my question. And I don't know, like Rob said some pretty cool stuff last week. One of those things he said was behavior is an echo of belief. I'm like, wow, that's like so profound. But Jesus is supposed to affect every area of our lives, our relationships, our marriages, our finances, how we use our time and talents, how we treat people. And that's another big conviction. The way we love others is actually a reflection of our love for God. But if we want to live by God's power, it has to come from a place of overflow. And I love it because you were sharing about the book of Acts this morning, Beryl. And that's like, I'm just like, that's like the best example. Like, they were living in the overflow of God. They were continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, it got so wild that just imagine this for a second. Like, put yourself in the city of Jerusalem. Like, that whole city was turned upside down by the apostles. And it got so radical that they would, you know, put their sick people out on the street and that they would hope and pray that Peter would just walk down the street and his shadow might just cast over them and they might get healed. That's a pretty radical, upside down, crazy mess of a city. Could you imagine like just walking down Botany Road and like there's like people on the side of the road and they're just like, oh, if I could just like get your shadow casted on me, I might get healed. That's a pretty radical space to live in. My question to myself is, and to us, is, are we living in the overflow? Do we spend more time being that when we start doing, his love just spills out of us? When we find ourselves in those difficult situations, where are we able to actually just breathe, slow down and make wise decisions? When things don't work out the way that we want or expect, are we able to be flexible? Do we bring peace everywhere we go? And God's just been really convicting me and challenging me on this. And yeah, but sometimes it's like, you know, you can only say or preach so much, like nothing compares to actually living by God's power. And you know, I just want to share like a part of my testimony, if I can, like of when I came to Christ, right? So this was 17 years ago. 17 years ago. I'm 32 and this is when I was 14. But you know, when I came to Christ, it was the most awkward thing ever, right? I mean, I was at a very broken place in my life. I was, you know, very depressed and had a friend ring me up and invite me to come to youth. And I was like, no, I hate youth group. Because I was a bit like Paul before his conversion. But I felt like God said, you know, you got to go. So I went. I got my dad to drive me. And it was so awkward because, like, I walked into the building and they were having what you would call a prayer meeting. And it wasn't just like, oh, thank you, God. It was like fiery. Like people were praying in tongues, like, shut up, up, up. I was like, whoa, like this was so awkward. Hey, and here I am just like some, but you know, the presence of God was there. And like, it was like, I can't even explain it. I can't even say, oh, the presence of God is like this. It was just like something I experienced in that moment, that just like something just in my spirit just came alive. And I don't even remember what my youth pastor preached about. I didn't even know what songs they sang. All I knew was that Jesus was there and that was the most important thing. And everything else was just like whatever. And you know, my youth pastor had an altar call and I don't even know what he said, but I just ran down the front because I knew that Jesus was there. And you know, I accepted Jesus into my life, and a lot of things like broke off my life. Like, you know, I stopped swearing. I stopped, like, I can remember literally like flushing weed down the toilet. Like seriously, like some things really changed in my life because it was the power of God. It was more than words. And you know, there was a lot of stuff that I still had to work through from there. But like, what I'm trying to emphasize is that the power of God is more than just like, you know, like, I could just, like, do we want to talk about the power of God or do we want to experience it? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, because I could just get up here and just talk until the cows come home. But unless, like, we experience the power of God, it's like, it's pretty meaningless. So, that's pretty much all I've got to say, really.